And welcome to Courage Cocktail Radio Show. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. Good afternoon, loyal listeners and new friends. I'm glad you're with us today. We are brewing your Courage Cocktail with two guests. Both know a little bit something about building strength and confidence within ourselves and within our families. Our first guest feature is the founder of Dragon Wing Girls Gear, a Chapel Hill company that is hitting the marketplace with a strong presence, which is fitting into an unmet demand for tween and teen girl athletes. You'll learn more as I continue to pour this cocktail, but if you're close by a computer, check out her website. It is DragonWingGirl.com, spelled out DragonWingGirl.com. As we continue today's program, stay with us, because we have in the liquor business a product called a Digestivo, or Digestif, and it's a small sip of something that helps you digest your meal. It actually anticipates indigestion. Let's face it, it's been an emotionally demanding this past November. Election energies, confusion and distortion among major leading media outlets. Good grief. And to top it all off, the holiday season is fast approaching. We've got you covered. So you may want to share this podcast with your family and friends, as many of you already do, and I thank you for that. The second half of our program, a little bit of flavor, is coming with our dear guest. This is her fifth time on our show. Her name is Becky Sansbury. Her website is beckysansbury.com. She is the speaker and author of After the Shock, a national speaker on the topic of resilience. We're all brewing this today in your Courage Cocktail. Stay tuned. Well, first and foremost, let's kick this program off with our first guest. Her name is Mary Ann Guicciardi. Mary Ann, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's such a pleasure. I do want to know how we have time. We've got a lot to cover, but in the process, I know our listeners are going to be curious about your own life and how you came to create Dragon Wing Girl Gear. I might know a little bit about your website and the history, but that Genesis story bears repeating. Can you take a deep dive? Tell us about your company.
Sure. When my daughter was around 10 years old, she needed something under her uniform. And that's a kind of an awkward age. And so I was looking for a sports cami or a sports top, and the only things out there were cotton, or they weren't really athletic. And so I thought, I can do something about this. I came from a manufacturing background, and
I didn't know that.
Yes, and so I just started making. I made 200 pieces, and I thought I'd serve the team and just give them an option. And it just turned out that there was a great need for some base layer that girls could wear under the uniforms.
And so for the uneducated out there, a base layer is a sports bra. It could be a sports camisole. It can be compression pants, which could be short shorts or, you know, longer pants. Mm-hmm. Today's program, in case you haven't figured it out, is all about the proper foundation for sports. And golly, you know, anyone who runs, I've been running on and off. I play tennis. These things have been, you know, just having the right sports bra is a godsend.
Exactly. And for girls, sometimes to get the right thing, they're shopping in the boys' department, because that's where a lot of the truly performance apparel is. So for shorts or for compression shorts, sometimes you're in the boys' department, and those things don't fit well, and they cause wedgies. There's a lot of abrasion because there's too much fabric in one place, not enough in the other, and it's just not cut for a girl athletic figure. So, I also feel like when you are shopping in the boys' department for a girl, you're sending the subliminal message that being athletic is somehow masculine. But that's not the message we want to give our girls. Being athletic is being athletic. It's truly feminine in every way, and it's a position of strength that you come from. So that for me was always something that I was really trying to overcompensate for, was the messaging as I tried to find the right gear for my daughter.
All right, so let's take me back in time. This is in 2012?
Around 2009.
'09.
Yes,
oh.
Because originally it was just to be helpful.
What a novel inspiration. Just to be helpful. So in your diary, like, okay, 2009, I'm going to make 200 pieces just to be helpful.
Right, just to make something that would serve our girls.
Wow.
And then, you know, as it got out there, more people wanted it. People were looking for me in the parking lots at soccer. So then we started to grow the business and to see what else girls needed. What were the other pain points? And so as my daughter was growing and our team was getting older, I could see the needs for better sports bras, better compression shorts, thermal base layer that truly fit, things like that that weren't out there for girls. And, you know, I'm really all about fit. I'm about giving girls really excellent fabric. You know, a lot of the things on the market are fashionable, and they may not always be the best performing. And we want our girls to have the best performing, just like the boys have. And the other thing that really, for me, is important is age appropriateness. If you have a girl and there isn't her size in the girl department, she's going to the juniors or women's, and that may not be the right place for her at that age. And it may not be the best fitting garment, and it still may not be high performing enough. So I just thought, I can do something about this.
And ladies and gentlemen, she has. This whole dragon wing girl gear, her tagline is what got me. And I found her tagline, Lord, it was might have been 2 months ago, which was confident to the core. And it's all about being in this particular product. It's American-made, manufactured, and I don't know, you're going to have to fill us in here because this is almost too good to be true. Not only did you identify a pain point among a very, let's face it, when our kids are in that in-between stages, sons and daughters, by the way, which I've witnessed only through my nephew, who's now a robust senior in high school. Hi, Tommy. But getting us kids through that 10 years old phase up until their young adult phase, there are so many tricky waters to navigate. And I think about sports, and I know we can have a whole conversation about the sports part too, which we will, but having in my hand a product that is of high quality and fits and is designed specifically for this need, I can't imagine why people didn't just kind of crush you at these events in your parking lot. It's so desperately needed.
Well, I think when you're talking about underwear, there isn't a lot of crushing going on. There's a lot of embarrassment, so girls will send their mother over. But also, you know, we want to make the best garment and use the best fabrics, the best factories, the best in class. And so if that is in the U.S., we will make it here. If it's Italian fabric, we'll use that Italian fabric, and we will ship it to the factory that's best in class for making that specific garment. And so for me, that's the most important thing, is to give our girls the best in class. They deserve their own thing. They deserve it at the highest possible quality standard, and I want to do that. That's my goal. And I really feel like when you give girls confidence as in their base layer, when you give them, we're not worrying about malfunction or or worrying about embarrassment,
right? Or
they can
fit.
Free up their mental energy to play their best. They're relaxed. They can be in the moment. They can be joyful. And then when you, that's like pushing through the self-esteem barrier, so girls can actualize their potential. You know, and for me, that's the most important thing. I want our girls to succeed. We need this generation to own their voice, to own their power. And this is one way we can do that, is by helping them feel so confident in their body image and so confident in who they are just as they are.
They are now.
Yes, without any social media expectation of how they should be. How they are is enough.
You are an eloquent spokeswoman for people, these women, young women, young children, young girls going through this process. How come you're so effective at this? Marianne, tell me, what's the story?
So I think part of my drive for this business is I feel like we need this generation of girls. And we know that sports is a path to success. You know, if you believe in Maslow's pyramid of actualization, community is already there with sports.
Okay.
And then you just need to build self-esteem, and the top of that pyramid is actualizing potential. And so for me, sports is this great arena where you can have community, where you can fail, risk, stretch yourself, and win, and be competitive, and unapologetically so. And so I feel like sports is one path for girls to take to actualize their potential. And I just feel like we need our girls. We need them to be in politics, be in business, be in medicine, be in law, be in anything that they want to do, and to know they can be good at it. And so I really feel like this generation is our chance to make a difference, you know?
I'm so in alignment with you, because as any parent out there, grandparent, aunt, uncle, we've all hauled our kids out to some sporting events. I think the numbers of children who participate, and children are defined like this, the ages of 6 to 17, mm-hmm. there are 21 million people. That's a lot of people in the United States who are competing, playing on some sports team. What I noticed is that you need some inspiration to get out there. We're leaving. We're on the road to arrive at a place, a volleyball hall. I certainly, when I was in high school, at 7 a.m., and that could have been a 3-mile or 3-hour ride. So we might get there a night before, or we might get there early. So there's a ton of stuff that's involved with a whole community around supporting your athlete. Once they get on that court or that field, whatever it is, you know, this, I wouldn't say pressure, but it's like, let's just stay focused. Anything we do to remove that, any distraction, whether it's food, whether it's enough sleep, it's the underwear, silly as it may sound, these can make big differences. What I noticed as our kid was growing up was their capacity to work together changed. And I saw this especially in girls. I didn't have as much experience with boys, but in our own daughter, she played the sport of volleyball and was a setter. So the kids who got the strike, you know, pushed down, whatever, got the score, the setter is the least dramatic. They have a very important piece, but it's, you know, it's not necessarily the one that they cheer. But listening to her, you can only get a point if you have a setter. And so people and our learning about her learning about teamwork was made a big difference. And so I understand the leadership part. I understand the contribution part. I also understand the failure part. You know, when they lost their bid on a championship, there were a lot of crying girls. And there wasn't everyone, the coach said to us, you know, just let it happen. You know, there's nothing you can say or do, but just let it happen. Be patient. And those sports are so important because there are lots of things that don't always go your way.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself talking too much on this show. I need your insight.
No, I agree with you completely. I think that sometimes people can have a voice in the back of their head when they don't win, when they feel like they aren't enough. And sports gives you the chance to learn how to deal with that voice. When you lose, that voice may come, but it actually gives you some skills and tools to recover,
right,
and not relive the moment over and over, because it's in that reliving of the negative that you get stuck or that you don't do the best you can for the next thing. And I think that the great thing about sports is you go back, your coach is assessing, you learn your mistakes, you learn, you know, you're always failing forward. And you know, if you didn't do it the next time, you're going to learn from it for the next game. And that practice is just so important in everything you do in life. So you're really freeing girls up, freeing people up when they do sports to take events, learn from them, and then make them productive.
When we're going to talk more about women in sports, girls in sports, and decisions in middle school and stuff. But because the listener can't see this, I'm holding this bra right now in my hand. It's beautiful fabric. But I just want to talk a little bit about the sourcing in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. This product is made and sourced here, one of them. And I understand you have a variety of products. Some are from North Carolina, but not all. But let's talk about how you found this firm, how that research part. Because that's part of a journey of your own discovery. But also, I think our listener will be very impressed with how you go about finding what it is you need that doesn't exist yet.
So I am very grateful for Google.
Ah, okay.
Because I think you can do some research in this day and age, and it really eliminates a lot of barriers to entry that existed in the past. Finding this factory was about doing some research, connecting with people. We have a robust garment manufacturing
in North Carolina.
In North Carolina, yes. And it's not as robust as it was in the past, but it is still excellent, and there are so many great people in it. And so this was the factory that actually gave Spanx their start. And so they are best in class.
Okay.
But I came from Hong Kong. You know, I spent 15 years in Hong Kong doing manufacturing, importing U.S.-made fabrics for the 4- and 5-star hotel market.
I didn't know you were 15 years in Hong Kong.
15 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I come from production. And so finding the best resources is something that you do that was just my past experience, you know, whether it's for cutting and sewing or for factories or for fabrics. You're looking for people who can help you to make the best thing, to use the best fabrics so that the garment performs.
And this is where that obsession with excellence is emerging. That's a dominant feature in your product, but it's also a dominant feature as, you know, I'm listening to you. This is where your heart and soul rests, the best product, the best mm-hmm. fit. So you're here, you just use Google and you found a firm in, is it Asheboro?
It's in Asheboro. And we actually started with a silhouette expert because we hired someone to help us to get the fit right.
What's a silhouette expert?
It's somebody who studies silhouettes.
Really?
The shape of your body at different ages.
Okay.
And so that was actually the first find. And then through her, and then we got to a designer, and then we got to the factory. So
these little, they're not little steps in terms of diminutive, but they're linked together. It's
exactly.
Like a daisy chain of decision making. It's a
mm-hmm.
pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And since your experience was in Hong Kong, sourcing, finding garments, this wasn't a whole new game for you. No.
Right.
It's quite obvious now why the product is so superb.
Thank you.
How did you end up in Chapel Hill in Meadowmont? How did that link happen? And for those international listeners, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, it's in the Piedmont, the central part of North Carolina, well known for sports and their university system, of course. But that's a little unusual. I don't think of it as a heartbeat of manufacturing or you know, certainly textiles.
So I think the decision about Chapel Hill was to move here. And we came from Hong Kong. We had spent a year in Italy. Then we went to California. And we were looking for a university town, a great place to raise children, and quality of life. And also, we had the benefit of finding a great place to start and own a business. So I think our first level of decision-making was to find a great town to live in. And for sure, Chapel Hill is that.
Oh, I'm thrilled to hear that. Of course, we're out of the heartbeat of Carrboro, which is a little sister, kind of a twin sister, not so little.
I love Carrboro, too.
So let's kind of turn our way towards this inclusion the culture of inclusion for competitive girls. We kind of hit upon this, synthesizing this tight messaging of your company and your tagline. You are a soccer mom, devoted soccer mom. Did you have your own experience with sports? Did you play sports?
No, not really. I wasn't that active in sports. I would say I missed Title IX by a year or two. When Title IX is the regulation to open up sports for all girls.
Right.
And I never really had the opportunity to try out. It wasn't on my radar screen. When I was in high school, I got a job. I worked in a bakery for all 3 years. My sister worked there. My cousins worked there. And it was awesome.
Oh, I
so
bet.
It kept us out of trouble. But when I look back, you know, I wish I had done more tennis. I love tennis. I wish I had done more. But I did the best I can, you know.
But it seems like, okay, now that we're making this pathway, there's a tremendous amount of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
That is really at play. Great minds at play here, if there ever was. I'm witnessing it just unfolding. Tell us a little bit about, you know, we all go into these new things. We make discoveries. We try to produce something. What was an unintended consequence of your playing with sports bras for this age group?
So I think one thing that's been so gratifying is the community that's building around the brand. Customers call, they share stories, they share issues, they share what their girls need and give me direction for what to make in the future. So I love that. I feed off of the feedback and stories of my customers and their daughters. I really love that. I'd say the other unintended consequence is how different it is now to do a business than it was when I lived in Hong Kong. With the internet, it's like a meritocracy. If you have a product and you can put up a website, which is so easy now, you can really start a business, and so that barrier to entry has been lowered. It's also highlighted for me how difficult it is for women to raise money.
Oh.
Only 4 or 5% of all venture capital funds go to women-owned businesses.
Let's repeat that. 4 to 5%... of all VC, which is venture capital, go to women-owned businesses.
And of those
funded
companies, women-funded companies by VCs or private investors, the success rate is 85% greater than if they weren't funded or by funded male companies. So that's amazing, because it means if you fund a woman, your chances of success are greatly increased. So as an investor, that's a very unique value proposition.
And she says that kind of shifting her shoulders. You can't see this. Like, go figure, Leanne. So for everyone to kind of, I'm going to restate this, because that seems like such a significant buckle. You're saying that if you make it, 85% of the women held businesses, if you're even in that field, 85% succeed.
If you get funded.
Wow. What are you doing now to help you get funded? Tell me your plans.
So we have launched a Kickstarter campaign. It is doing quite well. We hope to be completely funded, and that is to launch the new Racerback Cami, which is a product that was demanded by customers. They wanted a cooler cami, something with more mesh, a shelf bra with some pads so that girls could take them out if they wanted to.
I'm scrunching it up for you in case you can listen to it. I'll show you pictures.
It's gorgeous. I'm so
beautiful.
Proud of this product. It's got a racerback style, modified racerback. It's got adjustable straps. It's silver infused mesh, so it's odor control. It's wicking. It's really beautiful. All flat seam, no chafing. And then we have the seamless racer bra, and what we want to do with that product is expand the sizes. What we've learned is girls are more than just 5 sizes, extra small to extra large. Girls, we probably need to add 6 sizes, 6 more, and we want to serve that girl who is between, say, 10 and 14, and is just bigger, whether it's because of the sport or genetics or ethnicity. Her silhouette is different than what's on the market. And rather than push her to the junior and adult departments where things may not fit right or it may be emotionally too mature, we'd like to give her what she needs right now at this moment.
Right. And be like the other girls.
And yes, so exactly. That is so important.
Emma, you know, I bought one for Emma, as you all know, or maybe you now know. Surprise. But I also want to know this, that when women's backs and shoulders and the dimensions change, you use the silhouette. I think that's an eloquent way of describing our different shapes and sizes. And kids in that age group, I know from firsthand, everyone grows at a different pace, but everyone still wants to be the same. It's asking for the world and at a time when everything else is kind of shifting so quickly. And so when you say that you want to add a series of sizing that fits and meets the demands of your consumer, I think that I had no idea what's involved in that, so it must be a very costly opportunity to do that.
So we right now we've already got the size range done,
okay,
and samples. Nice. So really we just want to take it to production. But with any kind of production, especially with a product like this where it's knit by a machine, that's why it's seamless, and then just finished on the top, there is very large minimum order quantities.
I see.
And so for that stock is always the big asset grabber in a retail business. And so we need the funding for that stock.
So come on, tell us, shout out about this. How do we help you? What do we need to do to know and spread the word? It is a Kickstarter campaign.
Correct. Go to Kickstarter.com. On the search bar, put in Dragon Wing. It will come right up. Back us in any amount.
Okay.
And we did add a special backing today of a Cindy Parlow Cone special, who's a soccer player, local soccer celebrity. So
all right,
take a
girls.
Look at that. Yep.
Thank you, Cindy. I think that something good happened here.
Yes. And share it. Share it on your social media. Send it to friends via email. Put it on Twitter. But if the message gets out there, then we'll get funded and more, and then we can serve more girls and get them the gear they need.
I think what I love about what you're doing here in the Kickstarter, I will go out there, and I hope the listeners examine this and think about it, because there are small, this is helping a mom entrepreneur, and I want to help, of course, entrepreneurs, but I really want you to normalize what it means to go into a store or go online and buy something that fits. If you can get these kids to get into the habit of saying, I deserve something that fits, and that changes kind of the cascade or the cadence of things in important ways.
If things don't fit when you go shopping, if the environment is too masculine, if there isn't good sales help, you don't feel good about yourself. And there is no reason to feel that way. I think that's not just a girl thing. It could also be a woman thing.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you're shopping for a bra or a bathing suit, or if you're petite.
Wow, she's bringing out the heavy guns here. Shopping for a bathing suit?
Those can be really difficult shopping trips.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can make that experience positive and empowering, then you've moved the dial on self-esteem. And so for girls, we want to move that dial, because there is no right or wrong shape. There's no right or wrong size. There is only strength, capability, and beauty. And all girls have that. And that's what we want them to know.
I couldn't have said it better. Strength, capability, beauty. Oh, I am thrilled that you are with us. I'm thrilled you're in Chapel Hill, Carrboro region. We got North Carolina. We can claim her as our own listeners. And let's shout out some new things here, some important things. Dragon Wing Girl, that is DRAGONWINGGIRL sportsbras.com. And I really just go out there, even if you have no interest in sports bras for this type, this age group, go out there if you need some inspiration, because her taglines, her stories, Marianne has this extraordinary little blog going on. There's just plenty of things. If you're in a position, school teachers, or even I do a lot of work with young women entrepreneurs, I find that the language on your website is so inspiring. So just run away with it.
Thank you.
We're not going to steal it from you, but we're certainly going to eat it and get it right. And we're going to stay in touch. You're going to come back after
Absolutely.
This whole Kickstarter thing. But stay tuned, listener, as promised. We all know that this is a fun time in the season as we approach the holidays. And I wanted to extend an invitation for Becky Sansbury, After the Shock author, to help guide us through what's involved in a couple of things. Understanding resilience, particularly now in the context of successful women's sports and girls being fiercely competitive, but also for those among us who may not have the privilege and responsibilities of being around kids, what it's like to navigate towards happiness and towards strength in a period of families and oftentimes difficult times for people. So stay tuned. You're going to get a little digestive today. And I look forward to coming back and picking up where Becky Sansbury will take us. This is Leanne McClymont, WCOM LPFM 103.5 in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, North Carolina.
WCOM, your all-volunteer community radio station in Carrboro, needs your support. Do you have an idea for a radio show? How about an interest in engineering or a computer background? Are you interested in fundraising or just meeting a group of wonderful people? Please consider a donation of time or money to support this gem of the community. To find out more, please visit our website, WCOMFM.org. To make a financial contribution, sponsor your favorite show, or help support our many featured news and information programs, click the PayPal donate button on the top of our main page. Again, please visit our website, WCOMFM.org, and thanks for listening to your community radio station.
Welcome back to Courage Cocktail Radio Show. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. Glad you are with us this afternoon. We are broadcasting live from the studios of WCOM LPFM in Carrboro, North Carolina. It's thrilling to be here. We are having a warm spell. I have to tell you, it's 71 degrees here Fahrenheit. And the most important thing that I wanted to tell you is this. The first half, we had the privilege of speaking to Marianne Guicciardi. Marianne is doing the Dragon Wing Girl Gear and is doing a Kickstarter. And more importantly than that, she identified what it takes to keep the girls, confident to the core, to use their tagline. As I was brewing this courage cocktail, I realized that sports lends itself very well to resilience and to strength. And I also acknowledged that as our new year and our holiday season is fast approaching, after a very busy November's early election season, I wanted to add something so that you, the listener, could get a sense of, hey, you know, let's think about something fresh. And that's the introduction to bring Becky Sansbury back to the program. Becky, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here.
And before we jump into Becky's work, we do have the rest of the story with the Dragon Wing Girl gear. Stay tuned. There will be a little bit of happy gifting going on later on in the second half, thanks to our generous founder of Dragon Wing. But Becky, tell me what you thought. What were your thoughts about the first half of the show and what Marianne is doing?
I could sum it up in one word.
What's that?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, of course. The Master of Divinity is with us.
Well, hopefully it's more the liver of life with everybody else.
Absolutely. So Becky, one of the hot spots for me in brewing today's work was Marianne's sensitivity to girls' sense of confidence, their sense of success, and so their experience with failure, their experience with risk-taking. These are all things that are kind of lovingly bunched under the word resilience.
Absolutely.
Tell us, where does it all fit in?
I'm so glad you used that term, lovingly bunched. Sometimes people say to me, what is resilience? Mm. Good starting point. And we can turn to a variety of dictionary definitions. But there's one that I found in someone else's work that I admire, the scholar Civilian Pace in The Human Dimensions of Resilience have quantified it this way, that resilience is a cluster of qualities and traits that allows us to respond effectively to life's challenges.
Could you say that again?
Gladly. That resilience is a cluster of qualities and traits that allows us to respond effectively to life's challenges.
Ah, thank you for bringing that. And no, listener, I didn't see her notes beforehand. But how does it all play out with people, kids on the sporting fields, everything?
What Marianne described to us in terms of the quality of her product, the needs that it meets, and then the cluster, better known as community, of sporting participants and those who support them.
Right, the parents and the aunts, and the uncles.
And often the general community.
Right.
The school supporters, the team supporters, all of those folks who have a stake in this going well. Mm. And going well doesn't always mean winning the game. It means going well for those who participate. When you put that cluster together with everything that the two of you discussed in the first part of this program, what I was naturally reminded of were the very things that I have defined as the stabilizers in life and the qualities that allow us to use those stability factors to move forward in our development of resilience. So if I may, let me tag to some of the things that were described earlier.
Oh, please, take us there.
The four areas of our lives as human beings that allow us to stabilize during any kind of either disruption, distress, or even the competitiveness of sports, anything that's a changing time and factor. These four elements are comfort, control, community, and connection to something bigger than oneself. I hope people are having automatic ahas without my having to say much of anything else about those 4 points. But the 3 aspects of life that allow us to take the material within all of that and make it move are experience, our own and others' experiences. So whether we're tying to experiences that we have personally had from which we can draw wisdom or a pathway, or we're tying to the experience of those who surround us or who interject themselves or what they have to offer into our lives. This allows us to use those elements of comfort, control, community, and connection. The assumptions, then, that we have either within our own psyche or within that greater community, such as a sporting community, direct us to move toward a goal, direct us to move toward the way we want to be, direct us to move toward winning a game, whatever that game may be, or whatever that important outcome may be. But the final piece in the elements that I've seen of life that help people strengthen that muscle of resilience within themselves is the way we access and use resources. Often people want to jump to, I've just got to have the right resources and everything else will fall into place. Resources are incredibly important, but they are the culmination of these other pieces to even know what resources we need. I was struck earlier in the conversation when Marianne said that it was an important thing to define what are the pain points. Until we know what the pain points are, as well as the desired outcome, we may be seeking the wrong resources. As a result, when we can take a look at those 4 stabilizers, the important experiences of life, the assumptions that are going to head us in the right direction, and put that together as a way we know what resources we already have, what resources we need in this time, and then who might help us access them. So the whole conversation you had around finding the right materials, finding the right silhouette artist, the manufacturing location, all of those tie into the resources that now, with literally going to a website and hitting click and inserting your credit card number, instantly become accessible to young women globally.
It's so delightful to have had you the insight to have you join us for the first half of the conversation, because you were clearly participating. You were just being quiet. But I've invited Mary Ann on mic, too. So the other voice you're going to hear is Mary Ann Guicciardi. If you miss the first half of the program, please make it a point to listen to the podcast and get the first half. Mary Ann, your mic is on. When you do you hear what our friend Becky Sansbury has just done? If I'm correct, has she just put a little bow on your work and your mission?
I think you sum up exactly how I approach the business, how why I feel so strongly about it, and the tools that anybody can access to start whatever they want, to solve whatever problems they want to solve. So it's so empowering to hear that, because you're giving everybody a roadmap.
Well, so, actually, you didn't seem to. You created your own roadmap, but they, all of these kind of features share certain basic assembly points. And I always insist on repeating things, because in radio, we're often listening. We're not necessarily reading things. So those 4 pieces are comfort, control, community, connection to something bigger.
Than oneself.
And so we may have had an eloquent description of these processes in the first half of our Courage Cocktail. But Becky, we're looking out now. Here it is, the end of November 30th, 2016. and we're looking towards the holiday season, and we've always made it a point to brew a courage cocktail that was deliver the goods, and that is helping people with their feelings and helping people with resilience who may be entering the season with some difficult news, either health, family, financial issues. And can you take us to the next boundary? What's the kindest way we can approach our neighbors, our friends, and ourselves when things may not be going so great?
The first thing I would suggest is to remember that within each of us, regardless of our outward circumstances, there is an inherent need for normal, however we define normal. For some folks, it may be the continuation of a tradition. For some folks, it may be a level of affluence or health. For some people, it may be the people who are or are not around them. For others, it may be their schedule. Part of the reason the holiday season in many cultures becomes exciting but disruptive is based on how much of our day-to-day life we are expected to continue while we are adding on whatever responsibilities are required for this joyous festive time that often is uber depicted within magazines and movies and television commercials, and we're back to assumptions. When we have a time of pain, confusion, disruption of any kind, then all of that gets thrown into a gigantic stew pot where the heat is turned up. And it is turned up day by day within our own expectations and then those of the outward community. Since we have been using so much the illustration of sports today, and it's an apt one, I would also draw us to something that sadly is over the past 24 hours encompassing the hearts and the helplessness of the world, and that is with the tragic plane crash involving the Brazilian soccer team. So now we as a world at a time in, well, as a country in the United States where we are caught immediately between our Thanksgiving joys and festivities and then whatever our religious or cultural celebrations are in December and January, suddenly we have a tragedy of epic proportions for which we have no control. This is where we really get caught as human beings, when there's something that grabs us either within our own sphere of existence or the greater one of how we think the world should be. And wonderful, healthy young men should not be suddenly dead in one large group. Whether we play soccer, whether we have a connection to Brazil, none of that matters because this is episodic for all of us in some part of life. So there are going to be times when there are those minimal disruptions that throw off a day. We get a flat tire, it's in traffic, we're late for an appointment, and we suddenly remember, oh, we forgot to renew our AAA membership. Mm-hmm. That's disruptive, it's uncomfortable, and it may have some ripple effects. But when there's a mass tragedy, what it calls within us is something of this life proportion could happen to me or to someone who is dear to me. Whether we actually voice that or not, it rumbles down inside of us. Now we're back at our human need for normal. Obviously, these don't connect. Here's where the connection takes place. In being aware not only within ourselves, but within anyone or any group around us. Where's their pain point? And what small sliver of that can I address to bring back to normal, to establish a hairline piece of control, if it should be? For example, maybe I don't play soccer, but perhaps I know someone who is deeply involved in the world of soccer. What would it mean to place a phone call, send an email, or better yet, a handwritten note, and just say, you know, I'm aware there's been a tragedy in a world that's important to you. Please know I'm thinking about you. It's a way that we can normalize something within ourselves to feel that we've been able to do something good to help. And for that other person to realize somebody cares.
I'm not alone.
I am not alone.
You know, it's extraordinary example of these types of disappointments. And, you know, for one thing, I thought the example you were going to use was going to be Ohio State and that tragedy. But then again, I realized there's a bevy, there's a collection of things when you open up your news, you know, just sit down, don't be driving. And I suspect that what you said is that substrate, that special place where what is it I can do in that hairline to restore normalcy to your life?
That is correct. And in doing that, we also help to reinforce it within our own.
That's the little known secret, isn't it, about when we reach out and help. It is a huge advantage to making our own selves feel more empowered and perhaps even at the end of the day saying, I might not be able to fix the world, but I could fix my friend John, who's a big soccer fan, or
that's great.
My little piece.
As we look at this overall holiday piece that you opened up a few minutes ago, Leanne, I think one of the most important things to do is to do what we do when we are working with children who are either frightened or grieving or in a confusing place in life. And we treat them with kindness and compassion. But we also pay attention to the cues that they give us. We don't push them with more information than they can handle. And we don't ask deeper questions than they are already asking us. The same is true if we are taking care of ourselves or if we have someone we care about who's coming into a different holiday season. Pay attention to their cues. How much are they talking about this? How much are they venturing into traditional ways of celebrating or decorating? What things are they bringing up? And in that, we gently lead and care for each other, realizing that traditions may come and go, or they may just get put on the shelf for a year or two until it's safe to look at them again. And that's perfectly okay. We don't ask young women who are growing into the fullness of their mature bodies to be a certain way. And when our feelings are growing through different stages of life's experiences, we don't expect them to be what their fully matured sense will be.
It serves as a great reminder to me, myself, and I. Mm-hmm. I always walk out of here saying, oh, that was the issue. I know that the work that you're doing is taking national significance. I have a way of isolating talent, identifying it, and stealing it at the early, early stages. Can you just shout out about your work? I know you were in Chicago. Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to.
Oh, that was a thrill. I had the privilege of being part of the speaking faculty for the Ronald McDonald House Charities Conference of the Americas for North and South America. And first time working with a translator and working with folks who direct Ronald McDonald House work in very hands-on ways through Canada, the United States, and South America. And the impact they play in their central focus, which is keeping families close. One of the things that can be a guide star for all of us is having that central mission to which we can return when things get rocky. As a result, this has opened up some other avenues for me in speaking with healthcare professionals and those who are going through health-related challenges, women's groups. Sometimes women, I don't want to say women get it more. Sometimes women are just a little more open to talking about it.
We've learned that on our own radio program. Yeah, the guys get it for sure.
Absolutely, and I certainly wouldn't want to say that they don't. Uh-huh. But these are some of the groups that are now reaching out to me and giving me the opportunity to explore life and resilience and hope in one big package.
And she's being deliberately humble here, listener, because her book is what kicked this entire body of work off, and it is called After the Shock. Am I right?
That's
After the Shock, and it's available on Amazon.
That's correct.
And it's a great, it would be a great Christmas gift specifically, or a holiday gift, New Year's gift, Kwanzaa gift, name your holiday. The advantage of this is that this is the fifth time we've had Becky on board in the rodeo. And the reason is this. There are many times in timing of these experiences that we need to bring in I'm going to use the word expert in making sense of chaos. And this book has, I have to come clean with you, I've had many of these copies of these books, and we have guests overnight. And we put that book in the guest room, and then the guests take that book. That's the book that gets stolen all the time. And then they always tell me, by the way, I'm still reading this book.
I'm delighted.
That's how good this book is.
And honored.
And I'm grateful for you both joining us. I have to do a shout out back to Marianne. Marianne, I am grateful you stayed on mic and were able to set the stage for Becky's work. And Becky, I don't know how to thank you for making sense out of Marianne's work, but there's a little secret coming up. Tell us about the little secret, Marianne.
So for all listeners, we're going to do a 15% discount coupon code. Just put in WCOM on our website, and you'll enjoy 15% off of anything you want to buy. And thank you so much.
I'm so grateful to you. Listeners, WCOM on the Dragon Wing Girl. Singular, right? Girl.com. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
Dragon Wing.
Thank
you. It's a hard thing for a radio announcer to say, but I'm getting it. Also want to thank you, listener. We are thrilled to be back in studio, and we want to thank our underwriter, who is the North Carolina State University, the Advancement for Women Entrepreneurs, who are all about helping women advance in entrepreneurship. And stay tuned. More things are in the bucket. As you know, we've been building programs that have been supporting aging. We're moving into the aging and entrepreneurship venue. What's the connections between being 45 and older and wanting to start a new business? Well, listen to Courage Cocktail and you will find out. It's been a privilege to be with you. I want to do a shout out to Bill McClymont. Bill, thanks for being a great soundboard engineer today. We couldn't do this show without you. And ladies, thanks for doing everything you're doing, not only for Courage Cocktail, but for the world. This is Leanne McClymont. Thanks for listening.